Welcome to Tashma, the podcast where you get to listen in on Hadar's Beit Midrash. This year, each week, we will hear a Dvar Torah on the Parsha from Rabbi David Kasher. Let's listen.
With the Mishkan operational and the priesthood now in place, Parshat Achrei Mot begins with a description of the service that will be the pinnacle of that system, the Yom Kippur Avodah. At first, the sacrifices involved appear to be typical of what we've seen in Leviticus so far, a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Then come two goats, also named as sin offerings. But here, the Torah takes a surprising turn. Vanatana Haron al shnei hasirim goralot, goral echad laHashem vegoral echad laAzazel. Aharon shall place lots on the two goats, one marked for the eternal and one marked for Azazel. This procedure appears to contravene basic Jewish theology. Why are we suddenly drawing lots, as if casting our offerings into the hands of fate? And who is this Azazel, with a name that sounds like a god? None of this seems kosher. The 20th century Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner, in his signature work on the holidays, Pachad Yitzchak, briefly suggests a connection that has the potential to completely reframe our understanding of this central Yom Kippur ritual. He says, "V'hine ha-sa'ir ha-kadum l'shnei sa'irei Yom Kippur halalu, hu ish sa'ir ha-rishon, halo hu Esav ish sa'ir." The goat that preceded these two goats of Yom Kippur is the first goat man, Ish Sa'ir, none other than Esav, the Ish Sa'ir. Rav Huttner appears at first to be taking some creative license, for the connection he makes between Esav and goats is based on a bit of wordplay. It's true, Esav was described as an Ish Sa'ir back in Genesis, but that meant something else entirely. When Rivka comes up with a plan to send Yaakov in to his father Yitzchak to steal a blessing meant for Esav, Yaakov protests that this trickery will never work. Vayomer Yaakov el Rivka imo, Yaakov said to his mother Rivka, "But my brother is a hairy man, Ish Sa'ir, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall appear to him as a trickster, and then I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." When we see the description of Esav in context, it becomes clear that Rav Huttner is playing a bit loose with the language. Sa'ir here does not mean goat, a noun, but hairy, an adjective. The link between the words is not coincidental. A male goat, a buck, is called a sa'ir because he is a hairy creature. But that doesn't make hairy Esav a goat-like man. Yet, if we look just two verses earlier in the same scene, we find there is a rather remarkable goat connection in this story. When Rivka begins explaining her plan, her first instructions to Yaakov are, "Lechna el hatzon, go to the flock, v'kach li misham shnei gedayei izim, and take for me two young goats, good ones, and I will make them into a dish for your father, just the way he likes." Now we have not just one goat, but a pair of goats in this story, and a pair of goats in the Yom Kippur ritual, where we read, "Umeit adat b'nei Yisrael yikach shnei se'irei izim," and from the congregation of the children of Israel, "take two male goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering." Take for me two young goats, and take two male goats. Not only is the phrasing similar, but these are the only two pairs of goats mentioned in the Torah. Now it seems the Pachad Yitzchak is onto something. In fact, he has precedent, for his connection was made many centuries earlier in a midrash from Bereshit Rabbah. "Ulakach li misham shnei gedayei izim tovim," take for me two young goats, good ones. Rabbi Chelbo said, "Good ones, tovim, in the plural, means good for you, Yaakov, for through them you will take the blessings from your father, and good for your descendants, for through these goats they will be atoned on Yom Kippur." Rabbi Chelbo notices the parallel and suggests that the two goats that Yaakov uses to secure his father's blessing are a precursor to the two goats at the center of the Yom Kippur service. Further on in the same midrash, Rabbi Yitzchak takes the connection a step further, making the same connection to Esav we saw Rav Huttner propose above, and then introducing yet another play on the words in our parsha, one that serves to bring Yaakov into the mix as well. It says in Leviticus, "Vanasa ha-seir alav." The seir that goes to Azazel carries upon itself. Ze Esav, this is Esav. As it is said, this is Esav my brother, ish seir, a hairy man. And then the verse continues, all of their sins, et kol avonotam. That is, the sins of the quiet one, avonot tam. As it says, Yaakov was a quiet man, ish tam. That last move is extremely clever. The last letter that makes the plural for sins, a taf, combined with the letter for the suffix meaning there, a mem, together make up the sound tam. Taken as a separate word, tam means quiet, pure, or simple, and it's a word that the Torah once used to describe Yaakov. So now we have Esav, ish seir, the hairy man or the goat man, and Yaakov, ish tam, the quiet man. Read into the verse in our parsha, it means that the goat that goes to Azazel will carry off the sins of the quiet man, that is, the sins of Yaakov, which now means the sins of all of Israel. And that is just what this goat in the Yom Kippur ritual does. Those linguistic connections might awaken us to a larger parallel between the scene of blessing theft in Genesis and the Avodah service of Yom Kippur. For both settings involve a selection between two fates, one of which leads to God, and the other away from the covenantal community. How then do we read that connection into our understanding of the Yom Kippur Avodah? If one of the goats represents Esav, then the other surely represents his twin brother Yaakov. Just as Yaakov once secured the covenant with God, the goat that is selected to be dedicated to God, Lashem, represents the continuation of that covenant. Where does the other one, Esav's goat, go? It is, remember, strangely designated Lazazel, to Azazel. But what or who is Azazel? Rashi tells us it was the name of a place, Eretz Gezerah, a jagged land. But the name has unsettled our commentators because it sounds eerily like a foreign god. The name itself could be read to mean powerful god, Az-El. But whose god would that be? Now, with all this talk of goats, Izim, perhaps we'll notice that the word Azazel also functions as a kind of visual pun, for it looks like it might mean the goat god. The mention of goat gods brings us to one final meaning of the word we were tracking above, seir, that other word for goat, that comes again just a chapter later in our parsha. V'lo yizbechu od zivcheihem la-seirim. And they, the Israelites, must no longer make sacrifices to the seirim that they lust after. That is a fixed law for them throughout the generations. Seirim here means more than goats, but something like satyrs or goat demons, as it is sometimes translated. It seems to be a reference to one of the local deities, an ancient Near Eastern version of Pan or Baphomet. The idea of goat worship was clearly known to the Israelites. They had even, somewhere in their checkered past, fallen prey to it. So they would recognize that if one goat represented their own bond to God, one that was promised to them eternally, despite their sins, and despite the sins of their quiet forefather, then the other goat represented the brother, and then the nations, that were not selected by God, and wandered off instead down the path to idolatry. However, and this is the critical thing about the Yom Kippur ritual, the two goats are selected for their two very different fates at random. The Mishnah in Yoma tells us that they were supposed to be nearly identical beforehand, equal in size and in value, interchangeable. Then two lots are drawn, and now one is dedicated to God and One is off in the wilderness, following after false deities. One of these creatures has been chosen, and one has not. On happier festivals, we often celebrate our chosenness by God. But the Yom Kippur ritual, with its strange reliance on chance, reminds us that our chosenness was not necessarily deserved. And the linguistic echoes that take us back to the first selection of Yaakov over Esav force us to wonder if, in fact, our chosenness is undeserved. It was Yaakov who actually sinned, after all, but Esav who, like his goat, bears the burden. No wonder we seek atonement on this day. The Yom Kippur Avodah is thus meant to both celebrate our gratitude for the covenant and to keep us humble as we contemplate it. We are to remind ourselves every year that we are not deserving but fortunate to have been chosen. But for a simple twist of fate, we might well have been off in some jagged land worshiping goats.
Our producers for this episode are Sam Greenberg and Jeremy Tabak. Thank you to Nadav Remez for editing this episode. I'm your host, Rabbi Avi Killip. It's been a pleasure to learn with you.